We're going to continue in our time of worship through opening up God's Word. Vamos a abrir la Biblia juntos. And today's scripture reading is coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. La escritura de hoy viene del libro de 2 de Corintios, capítulo 1, versículos 3 al 7. I'm going to invite Ben to go ahead and read the scripture for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in your patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort.
Thank you, Ben. I'll read the scripture for us in Spanish. Segunda de Corintios, capítulo 1, versículos 5 al 7. Pues así como participamos abundantemente en los sufrimientos de Cristo, así también por medio de Él tenemos abundante consuelo. Si sufrimos es para que ustedes tengan consuelo y salvación, y si somos consolados es para que ustedes tengan el consuelo que los ayude a soportar con paciencia los mismos sufrimientos que nosotros padecemos. Firme es la esperanza que tenemos en cuanto a ustedes, porque sabemos que así como participan de nuestros sufrimientos, así también participan de nuestro consuelo. So as you see here in this passage, it's talking about how to navigate this life through suffering. How in this life there will be times that are not easy, there will be challenging times. And this year, we've been doing that over the summer. We've been looking at some of these big questions, these challenging questions. Many of them came up during our Tuesday night Bible study, but they have also come up during this summer when we've done some Q&A time together. A couple of weeks ago, we started this sermon series with looking at the question, who is God? How can we know God? And what is God like? That was a couple of weeks ago. That's now on the website. So if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to that message. And then last week we looked at what does forgiveness mean? How can we receive God's forgiveness and how can we give forgiveness to others as well? And today we're going to be looking at another question that came up, and that is the question, if God loves us, then why do we go through pain and suffering? Si Dios nos ama, ¿por qué hay sufrimiento? And the second part of that question is, how do we hold on to faith in the hard times of life? ¿Cómo podemos sostener la fe en los tiempos difíciles? So again, these are the two questions we're going to be looking at today. If God loves us, then why do we go through pain and suffering? And then secondly, how do we hold on to faith in the hard times of life? How do we do this? Well, the very first thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God gives us wisdom, humility, and love, and openness to hear His word this morning. So let's go ahead and pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord God, we thank you that what we hold on to is not a passive hope, not a weak hope, but we lean on and we hold on to a living hope that is eternal, a living hope that is able to sustain us. Te damos gracias, Señor, por la esperanza viva que nos das. Lord, we thank you that you are as real as the air we breathe. All of creation actually points to you and to your glory. Toda la creación apunta a tu gloria. Whether we're taking our first steps today or our next steps toward you, today, God, we just acknowledge that on our own we can't do it. On our own we don't have all of the answers. But the good news is that we don't have to, because you do. You hold us in your hands, Lord. You hold our entire lives. And we acknowledge, Lord, that none of us are perfect, but we worship a perfect God. Alabamos un Dios perfecto. God, this morning, through your word, would you make us new? Would you make us more like you? Pour out on us your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding. We pray this in the faithful name of Jesus. Amen. So I realize that this question that we're looking at today is a bit of a sensitive question. How do we navigate, how do we hold on to faith during times that are difficult? And how do we make sense of the fact that if God loves us, why do we experience pain and suffering? And I know that this is challenging and even sensitive for some of us, because many of us have experienced very real suffering and very real difficult times in our lives. Varios de nosotros han sufrido y han tenido tiempos difíciles en la vida. Some of us are even currently going through that right now. So when we look at this question, worshiping God, a good God, and navigating suffering, one thing I want to share with you before we even get into answering that question or responding to that question is what I do as a pastor is something I want to pass on to you as well. The first step in serving someone that is suffering or going through some pain, the first step is not just giving them a quick answer or a quick fix, or just saying something to end the conversation. The first step in serving someone that is suffering is actually comforting them. Comforting them and showing up. Showing up, especially if it feels awkward or challenging, but still showing up. Comforting them through our presence. Comforting them through prayer. Rather than just over-talking or over-giving advice, people that are in pain and suffering aren't really in that space. But what they need is comfort and presence. And being able to point to the presence of God. The great thing is that when we've gone through these seasons of challenge and suffering, we actually come to understand a very real truth, even a deeper truth than the answer to why do we suffer. We come to understand the deeper truth of who is with us during the times of challenge and pain and suffering. God is with us. And there's one of the names of God is actually Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. God shows up. Uno de los nombres de Dios es Emmanuel. Emmanuel significa Dios con nosotros. So in our pain, in our challenges, in our tears, God is there. God is with us and God is for us. So anyone that you may be serving, or maybe you yourself, anyone that's experiencing pain or suffering, the very first step is comfort and presence. People must be inspired by the people of God before they will get inspired by a good argument or a quick answer or a quick religious phrase. But it's showing up and it's being present. God calls us to show up, to pray, and to point to the presence of God. In fact, one of the oldest stories in the entire Bible is actually a story in the Old Testament that has to do with this man named Job. Job was a man who loved God, who served God, and yet he experienced pain and suffering almost unlike anyone else. And there was something that happened in the book of Job. One of the most unhelpful things that happened was when some of his friends came to Job and they just started to give him a whole bunch of reasons on why he's suffering. They started to tell him, well, you know what? You're suffering because of this or because of that, and that's why this is happening. And that was completely unhelpful to Job. But then we see another group of friends coming to approach Job who actually begin the healing process for him. And what do? They listen, they pray, they show up, and they point to the presence of God. So that's part of what we can do when we show up for others, to point to the presence of God. Friends, this claim by the Bible, by the Word of God, is a unique claim. It's a unique claim, unlike any other claim and unlike any other calling. But part of the what we see here when we read the Bible honestly, when we read this passage that we just read, is that part of the calling to follow Jesus is the calling to suffer. When we serve God and when we love others, we will suffer. Cuando servimos a Dios y a nuestro prójimo, van a haber momentos que sufrimos. If we're Christians or if we're followers of Jesus, then that is a part of our calling. That is a part of this journey with God. There will be challenges, there will be tears, there will be suffering, but God will be faithful. The Bible encourages us to believe that suffering is not a curse. Suffering is not just the consequence of bad behavior, but suffering at times is even a part of the calling for those of us who follow Jesus. For those of us who follow the one who the Old Testament prophets refer to as the suffering servant. So if we're followers of Jesus, we follow the suffering servant. We see in this passage that Ben read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, it actually says it pretty directly and pretty clearly to us, if it's up there for us. In verse 5 it says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." You know, sometimes when we think about the abundant life, we just think about the victory and the blessings and all this good stuff, the victory of the resurrection. But we can't understand the victory of the resurrection without the suffering of the cross. That's part of the abundant life, it says here. It is it is walking in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Jesus is the supreme example of suffering while not being at fault. Yet he suffered. Similarly, for us, when we suffer while not being at fault, we are truly and mysteriously being molded and made more and more like the image of Christ. We are people marked at times by suffering. Even Jesus, when he resurrected, yes, in the victory of the resurrection, and he showed up to the apostles, and he showed up to those that he knew, he still had the scars in his hands. They even recognized him through his wounds and through his scars. That seems so counterintuitive to some of us. That seems so even confusing to some of us. How is it that following Jesus sometimes calls us to times of pain and suffering? Well, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have a new identity. We have a new purpose in Christ. So this new identity and this new purpose aligns us to identify with the Lord, with the one who is called the suffering servant. And with this purpose, we align ourselves. We follow the one who took up his cross. You know, a lot of us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, sometimes we like to wear crosses. But part of the calling of following Christ is not only to wear a cross, but to carry a cross. Being saved while still suffering, that's a very real tension that the people of God experience. In Scripture, we see that those who follow Jesus yet, and they believe that they are God's people, but at the same time, they are suffering. That's a very real tension that we find throughout the Bible. They've put their trust, they've put their hope in God, and yet there are these times of challenge and pain and suffering. And sometimes we even read in the Bible that some of them are even in pain and suffering because they are following Jesus. So how do we make sense of that? Well, that's part of what it means to follow the suffering servant, to share abundantly in his suffering and in his comfort. As we engage and we serve God and we serve others, as we love God and we love people, as we do so, There will be hard times. There will be times of pain and challenge and suffering. For many of us, that's not what we expected. That's not what we even necessarily wanted to hear as part of what it means to follow Jesus. But in fact, our suffering is even part of an indication of us being in accord with the example of Christ, with being aligned with the one who suffered for us. To engage the world means that we will suffer as Jesus suffered. And yes, there will be victory. But again, remember, we can't understand the victory of the resurrection without the suffering of the cross. And when we read the Bible honestly, when we take it seriously, we see this again in the passage that was read for us. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So this can be a little bit confusing, I know. Tal vez nos puede confundir esto un poquito. Because if it seems very strange or challenging, I want us to remind us of this. That the calling of Jesus is bigger than our ego. The calling of Jesus is bigger than just our comfort or our neat expectations. El llamado de Dios es más grande que nuestras expectativas. Now, although it's challenging, perhaps the most profound part of our pain, of our suffering, is that our suffering and our pain can point to a bigger story. It can tell a bigger story. Just as life comes through some form of suffering, it points to a bigger story. All of us are here because we have mothers, right? Regardless of what your relationship with your mother is like, we're here because there is a woman who suffered for you. All good things come through suffering. Even us, some of us who parent. I didn't know what I signed up for when I decided to have children and became a parent. But I came to realize that really parenting and raising children is simply signing up and being willing to suffer on behalf of someone else. To pay all their bills, to provide for them, to lose a bunch of sleep for the sake of someone else. In fact, I'd be willing to say that nothing good in this life, nothing true, nothing beautiful comes without suffering. And the good news is that we are not called to do this alone. Dios no nos llama a sufrir solos. In light of this calling, our suffering has a purpose, just as Christ's suffering had a purpose of pointing to God's salvation, restoring all things back to Himself. Just to be clear, this is not a call to just have some cheap excitement or weird thrill through pain and suffering. No. But when we suffer, we may trace it to the calling we have. We follow a suffering servant. We follow the one who laid down his life for us. And our suffering can point to a bigger story. We can point to Jesus. We can point to the one who brings about true healing and true peace. Nuestro sufrimiento puede apuntar a Jesucristo. To be suffering servants of our world is to follow Jesus in this way. It's by laying our lives down just as Jesus laid His life down for us. That's part of our calling. Friends, may we not give in to the lie or the myth that our suffering, that our pain has to do with punishment, or that our suffering is just God wagging a finger at us saying, "You shouldn't have done that." No. What we see here is actually the complete opposite. What Scripture is saying is actually that suffering is a part of our confirmation and of our calling to serve God's people as we carry on the mission of Jesus. This is part of who we are. If our new identity, if our new purpose is in Christ, then we're going to share in His suffering and in His comfort. In His challenge, in His pain, and in His victory. You know, I know that some of this can be a bit different, and maybe you've heard things like this in church before, maybe you haven't. But if there's one thing you hear today, I want you to listen to this. God's got you. Dios te sostiene. No matter what you're going through, He is using this situation, this pain, this suffering, this circumstance, He is using this for a purpose, for something greater. There is a story in the works. There is a testimony in the works. So friend, brother, sister, hold on. Hold on to Jesus just as He is holding on to you. Don't let go. Don't let go to the God who will never let go of you. Trusting in Jesus will give us courage. Will give us courage to move forward. Because this life is a journey often marked with tears. En esta vida van a haber momentos de sufrimiento y de lágrimas. And when I think about tears, I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as He was getting ready to take up the cross, yet He was sweating even blood, the scriptures say. And I'm sure there were many tears that He was shedding before God the Father. And some of us know what that feels like. Some of us know what it feels like to go through very long seasons, long journeys of pain, of suffering, of tears. Because the fact is, we've all shed tears. Todos aquí hemos tenido lágrimas. We all shed tears, and I don't care how tough you think you are or how emotionally healthy you think you are. The fact is that we all cry and we all shed tears. And the Bible, the Word of God, has a lot to say about our tears, about us crying out to God. We see in His Word that God says to us in His Word that when you cry to Me, says God, I listen. When you cry, I am close to the brokenhearted. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's God's promise to you. Esa es la promesa de Dios para nosotros today. May we take that courageous step in being real with God and being real with each other, taking off the mask, stop pretending, and in our suffering, may we cry out. May we cry out with the assurance that the Creator of the universe, that the God who created you, holds us and reminds us that we are loved. And that no matter what, it's going to be all right. No matter what, you're going to be all right. He holds you. He's with you. He will never leave you. Because of Jesus, His death, and His resurrection, we're all going to be all right. So that leads us to the second question. We looked at the first one. If God loves us, then why do we experience pain and suffering? Well, that's because we follow Jesus, the suffering servant. And we live abundantly in His suffering, in His glory, and His victory as well. But then the second question. How do we hold on to faith in the hard times of life? ¿Cómo podemos sostener la fe en los tiempos difíciles de la vida? Well, the truth is, that suffering and pain has the ability to actually confront us with deep questions about ourselves, about God, about the world. Suffering will confront us with the question behind every question. And that question is this: in what or in who am I trusting? Where am I laying my weight down? Friends, brothers, sisters, in our pain and suffering, Jesus invites us to abide in Him, to trust in Him. You know, what does it mean to abide? Some of you have seen maybe a parent or a young child with a parent, a baby with the child, the baby holding on to the child. That is abiding. And that's what Jesus invites us to do with Him, to abide in Him, to trust in Him, to know that we can hold on to Him. Many of us can actually functionally live in such a way where we're not abiding. We can say it here in church, and we can say it sometimes to ourselves, but we're actually not abiding in Him. Maybe we're looking at Jesus, but He invites us to hop on and to abide in Him, to rest in Him, to remain in Him, and to stay in Christ. It's only when we abide in Jesus that we can walk in the three things that are going to sustain us in the hard times of life. That is the power of God, the promise of God, and the presence of God. So how do we hold on to faith in the hard times? We trust in Jesus, and we hold on to the promises of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. Permaneciendo en Cristo y confiando en sus promesas, su poder y su presencia. In suffering, there will be those who do the complete opposite. And I'm a pastor. I've had a chance to walk alongside people in very difficult times of their lives. And I've seen both extremes happen. In pain and suffering, there will be those who draw close to God, who draw closer than they ever have before, who experience the promises, the power, and the presence of God, who abide in Jesus, and they experience something new. They experience this deeper peace, this deeper comfort. But then I've seen the other thing happen as well. I've seen people, instead of abiding, choosing to run away. Choosing to run away from God and get caught up in the distraction, in the self-reliance, and in the isolation. That ultimately leads to self-destruction because we can't do it alone. He calls us to abide in Him, to hold on to His presence, to His promises, and to His power. Like I said, we can go any direction with this. Some of us run toward God in pain and suffering. Others run away. The invitation from God is to draw near to Him. I have a friend. He's up in Northern California. He's also in ministry. His name is Terry. He's much older than me, but he works at hospitals. He's a chaplain, and he does a very difficult job. He is actually with people in their final moments of life, and he prays with them. And one thing that I've learned from Terry, and even from some of my experience with this, is this very simple truth, which is that oftentimes the way that people die is the way that they lived. So if someone lives their life trusting in God, they die trusting in God. If someone lives their life on self-reliance, then they die in fear or questioning or whatever it may be. Now, it's interesting because Terry tells me this story about a person that he knew. A person that did this, that really spoke faith but didn't live out their faith. This was a religious person that he knew. And at the end of their life, they actually died very bitter, angry, and running on self-reliance. For this person, faith was just a transaction for them. They weren't abiding in Christ, but they were saying, God, if I do this for you, then you should do this for me. If I do A, then you should do B for me. But Jesus invites us into something deeper, to abide in Him, to trust in Him. Hard times will happen. It'll be very hard to believe in the presence, the promise, and the power of God when we just rely on ourselves. We can only do that by abiding and trusting in Jesus. Without these things, without the presence, the power, and promises of God, we will drift into self-reliance. And when we drift into self-reliance, we drift into fear. And when we drift into fear, we drift into distrust. When we're in self-reliance, we're not walking in the power of God, but we're just trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in our circumstances or in our situations. When we're dealing with self-reliance, all we're saying is that this is all there is. But when we trust in Jesus, He actually invites us to believe that there's more. This is not all there is. You are not alone. the good news is that there's always an opportunity to come back to God. He never just abandons us. His arms are always wide open, waiting for you, waiting for us to come back. Trust in Him. Experience His presence, His promise, His power. We can put down that false self. And one way we can do that today is by asking ourselves, how is your relationship with Jesus today? How is it, really? Because the truth is, it's not uncommon to become an expert about Jesus or to know all this stuff about church or the Bible, but to start drifting from Him. Because Jesus invites us to hold on, to abide in Him. Not just to look and have a bunch of knowledge about Him, but to be in relationship with Him. To live the truth that He invites us to. So I told you my friend Terry, he told me this story about this person he saw die the way that they lived. And it was very bitter. But then I think about this other person that I knew that I got to meet several years ago. And this person wasn't in ministry. This wasn't a pastor. This was actually an author that I really liked. His name was Dallas Willard. And he died a couple of years ago, but I got to meet him in person maybe 3 years before he died. And this is actually recorded. He's written some tremendous books. One of them is called The Spirit of the Disciplines. It's a way to grow spiritually. But he lived his life in gratitude. And again, remember, the way that we live is oftentimes the way that we die. And Dallas Willard's final words before his last breath were the words, "Thank you." He thanked God for this life, for this season. And I got to meet Dallas Willard, he was doing a Q&A, just like what we're doing this summer. And he was doing a Q&A, and someone asked him a very hard question. They asked him, what does it feel like to transition from this life to eternal life? What is that like? And he spent his life researching this, talking to people who had near-death experiences, looking up historical record, all of that. And of course, now he knows because he's in the presence of God. But at the time, he was actually giving his best thought on it. And this is what Dallas Willard said, which is pretty amazing. He said, what it will feel like to transition from this life to eternal life will feel a lot like waking up in the morning. You know that feeling where you're not sure yet if you're fully awake, but then you realize, oh, I'm awake. I'm not dreaming. I'm not sleeping anymore. Similarly, part of what Willard says, this transition from this life to eternal life will be like waking up in the morning, going about the day, and then realizing at one point, wait a minute, I'm in eternity. I'm in God's presence. I'm in God's glory. And I've been so caught up in that glory that I didn't even realize it. And we see this even confirmed in the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says something beautiful. It says, for what was glorious, and we can even apply this life to that. Yes, it was the grace of God. It was beautiful. It was glorious. But it says this, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? We go from glory to glory. From this grace of God, from the glory, the beauty we see, to greater glory in the presence of God forever. Going from grace to glory. That's part of the freedom of abiding and trusting in the promises, in the power, and in the presence of God. We don't need to carry this suffering alone. No necesita sufrir solo, sola. We don't need to pretend to be strong and capable. When we abide in Christ, we can acknowledge our limitation. So many of us have a false sense of our capabilities and of our limitations, but the freedom of trusting in Jesus, of abiding in Him, is acknowledging our weaknesses and to be okay with that. Because He holds us. He sustains us. And together, part of holding on to God's promises, His power, and His presence is learning to read the Bible honestly. Not just skipping to the parts that, you know, seem very inspirational in the moment or whatnot, but reading it honestly. Taking Jesus seriously when He tells us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have trouble. You will have pain. There will be hard times. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We want to keep coming back to the victory. But friends, remember, we cannot understand the victory of the resurrection without the pain and the suffering of the cross. So to summarize it all, main takeaways. Do not be surprised by difficult days. The Lord is at work in the mess. The Lord is at work in your mess. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the cross. And together, may we abide and trust and hold on to the only things that can sustain us. The promises of God, the power of God, and the presence of God. And may we trust in the words of our Lord Jesus, who tells us in John 16:33, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart and believe that I have overcome the world. Amen. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar. We're going to do something unique today. Something that maybe we haven't had an opportunity to do in a while. But we're going to take a moment to just be with God. We're going to just take a moment to examine our hearts, how we're doing, who we are before God. And we're going to invite Jesus in to all those areas of our hearts. We're going to invite Jesus to give us His promises, to give us His power, and to give us His presence, especially in the difficult times. Especially in the challenges, in the pain, in the suffering, in the unanswered questions, we're inviting Him in today. So right now, just as you are, I want you to be able to bow your head, close your eyes just where you are, and receive the promise of God. The Lord is with you. God is with you. He will never let you go. And remember that whatever pain or suffering or challenge you may be going through, that is not out of disobedience, but part of us fulfilling our calling as we follow a suffering servant. We dedicate, Lord, this time to you. So today, you can come and bring your true self before a true God. Where is it that you feel stuck today? Where is it that you feel challenged today? Bring it before Him. Abide in Him. Hold on to Him. Today, are you in a season of doubting? Maybe you're doubting the promises of God. Maybe you've given into self-reliance and you're just holding on to fear. Today is an opportunity to exchange that. Exchange your doubts for His promises. Exchange your fear for His power. It's so easy to run away. But God, would you give us the courage to run toward you? God, help us today to lean on you and to trust in your presence, to trust in your power, to trust in you, God. We're going to take this time just as you are, to simply confess before God. Confession just means telling the truth about God and telling the truth about ourselves. That we're more broken than we want to admit, but God is so much more gracious and merciful than we want to admit. So right now, you can do that just where you are. Confess to Him. He'll forgive you. He'll be merciful. He'll be gracious. There's always a way back. His arms are wide open toward you. And today, for some of us, maybe we're taking that first step in faith. And today, you can do that. You can go take that step of salvation, of receiving His salvation, by acknowledging and trusting in Him. You can pray this prayer. You can say, God, I confess that You are God and I am not. Today, Lord, I need You to be gracious to me and to forgive me. I need You to heal me and to make me alive. Today, I give up on trusting in myself and I put my life in Your hands. Today, I choose to follow Jesus, to follow the One who gave His life for me. Although I don't understand everything, I want to pursue You, God, with my whole life. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. For some of us, maybe it's time to take that deeper step. Maybe we've known about God, but it's time to truly abide in Him, in His power, in His presence, in His promises. And you can pray this prayer. You can come back to Him as well. You can say, Almighty God, Your love has called us here. We are Your children, created in Your image. We confess that sometimes through pride, through fear, we go back to self-reliance. We've disregarded Your image and Your power and Your promise. We've walked away from our true calling. We get so easily caught up in fear. Merciful God, forgive us. Help us to take this journey from fear to faith. Help us to take this journey from our heads to our hearts. Set us free in Jesus Christ to be the people that we were created to be. Lord, we pray all these things in the faithful name of Jesus. Amen.